Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN, F-U-N. Matt, before we actually kick off this episode, just the bad news keeps coming, doesn't it?
Stripes, man. Stripes.
Stripes, Groundhog Day, Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2.
Just Meatballs, which is very underrated.
What else did he do? He did
everything. He did everything. He wrote Animal House.
Yeah.
Animal House and Stripes. That's insane. Why? Why did that guy get taken? He should live forever.
He should live forever.
I traded like 5 people's lives for him. Okay, that's not generally okay, but...
No, it depends on the 5.
Like, I would trade very many...
Airheads? Airheads is a phenomenal movie.
Oh, Airheads is so good.
I mean, part of the SCTV crew, like, just Harold Ramis was a good one.
Have you seen Club Paradise?
Yes.
I love Club Paradise.
Fantastic.
Armed and Dangerous.
Fantastic.
Everything is the worst. Everything is terrible. Everything sucks.
Yep. Rest in peace, Harold Ramis. Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, we're gonna pick it up. We're going to pick up the energy, even with the bad news, and we're going to talk about some good things surrounding the world of basketball. How's it going?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm all right. I had a good weekend. I don't know what I did. Oh, I saw Hannibal Buress on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. You were very excited about it.
Phenomenal. I was. He's one of my favorite comedians. He's still very up and coming. He was a writer on 30 Rock. He's got what is that show now? Chosen, or there's some animated show on Comedy Central. Maybe it's FX. So he's a part of an animated show right now. And his stand up was just like it was fairly new stuff, fairly new material, and he just killed. Like he killed for like an hour and a half. Like, he was just phenomenal. He brought out Brother Ali, who's a local rap artist that many people may have heard of, as like a surprise guest between the opener and his set. So he did a couple of songs. It was a really incredible show.
I'm glad you had a good time. Let's see, what did I do this weekend? Not a lot. I think I worked on Saturday, so I mostly just wrote during the day. I'm still wiped out from Deadline. Doing All-Star and then Deadline was hard.
Yeah, I was glad to not do anything on Saturday. I definitely like just kind of unplugged. I didn't even watch games. I watched the Wolves Jazz game the next morning, but just kind of unplugged and then worked Sunday. And it was that trade deadline is exhausting, even though nothing happened, and it's simply for the fact that like you're just on edge the entire time. Like we're just anticipating, all right, we have to be ready in case something happens. And then nothing really, I mean, stuff happened, but like nothing really major happened that required like a all hands on deck situation. And so like it's this weird like mental exhaustion for almost no reason.
Yeah, trying to explain it to my wife was very difficult. She was like, but you didn't do anything. And I was like, but your wheels are spinning at this extremely high level. You're jacked up on adrenaline waiting for Ken Berger, CBSSports.com, or somebody else to tweet some piece of major news, because, yes, other people break news. And then nothing happens, and then you're just like, ugh.
And that's the thing. Like, it's like, yeah, we didn't do anything, but we could have. Something could have happened.
And then I was a moron and not only was working Friday night, but then was like, oh, Royce had to work during All-Star weekend. I'll take Saturday, too. That was not smart.
That was we just chalk that up to community service, right?
Exactly.
That should count for something. That should, like, let's say you get arrested in the next 3 years. That should like cut off some months of probation.
For hatchet murder.
Right. Exactly. Hatchets, before we get into this podcast, I talked about it with Ethan on Friday. I'm still baffled by hatchets. They're impossible to find. And by impossible, I mean I really haven't looked. But it seems like they would be hard to find. They don't really have a use. I mean, why would you ever chop wood in the least efficient way possible? Like, I get it if you're the Knicks. If the Knicks had to chop wood, they'd use a hatchet. Anybody else is using a chainsaw or an axe, something with some weight behind it.
This will not surprise you, but, you know, if you want to know more about it, if you want to be able to find them, you got to go to Arkansas.
Oh. Okay.
Man, the antique stores in Arkansas are some of the most terrifying places on the planet because they actually have racks, like the entire tables full of nothing but old, rusted, like, bladeware. Like, nothing but that.
Rusted bladeware.
Yeah.
Is it rust, or is it dried blood?
Exactly. So if you're like, man, I could really use an old blood-covered hatchet, go to Arkansas and they can help you out.
I could really go for a hatchet with some DNA on it right now. That could possibly solve a case.
How many times have I found myself saying to myself, self?
That does remind me of when I was in South Dakota. Went to the corn maze. Do you know about this corn maze in South Dakota?
Yeah.
I went there last summer. Maybe it was 2 summers ago. I don't know. I went there sometime in the last 2 years. And there's a just outside the corn maze where they were doing children's tractor pulls, which was like a competition. Like the corn maze or the corn palace is like inside. It's like essentially like an arena where one might have a basketball game or something. It's a small arena, like maybe the size of a high school gym or something, or like a community college gym, and people in the stands watching children do a tractor pull. It was fascinating. It was really amazing. Like hundreds of people watching this. But in a gift shop outside of it, there were, you know, just all kinds of crap you could buy. And there was one section of this gift shop that was like nothing but knives with like the handle was like a print of like a bald eagle and like the American flag on it. And like I've never wanted a knife more in my life. I could use a giant buck knife that has just a bald eagle printed on the handle. How could anybody not want that? How do they still have those in stock?
You know who would be great at that tractor pull?
Hmm.
Big Baby Davis, who's featured in today's news and notes brought to you by Squarespace.com.
He would be great in that. Not as great as Squarespace.com, but he would be great in that.
So, Big Baby's a Clipper.
He is a Clipper. We're in buyout season. Now that we had the trade deadline frenzy that wasn't a frenzy, we're in buyout season. Big Baby's is a Clipper. Danny Granger should be bought out pretty soon if they can agree on something. He definitely wants to be bought out. Beno Udrich and Ron Artest are going to be bought out, which I think the news was broken by Ron Artest.
So long, New York. Going to miss you. I'm done with this terrible organization. So long.
Are there any like guys in this situation where you think like they could definitely help a team? Like, I like Beno Udrich, but do you think he's going to go to a contender and really make an impact even in the second unit?
Well, see, Nick Kalaitis has played well.
Oh, that's a good point. He should go to Memphis.
I'd take Beno pretty easy.
Yeah.
Memphis.
Yeah, you wouldn't even have to think about that.
Look, I'm just going to say it. Danny Granger goes to Phoenix, and all of a sudden we're going to be like, oh, okay. He's going to spend six weeks there in their cryo chamber. And come out and be like a 12-6 guy. So,
what do you think the insurance policy is on a team full of Dr. Frankensteins? Would it be Doctors Frankenstein? Dr. Frankensteins? Frankensties?
Frankenstein?
Frankenstein?
Help us out, Germany. Let us know in the comments. I like that. I like that. But
I like
Vegas
that.
For agent news.
I like that idea though about Granger going to Phoenix, because a lot of people just assumed, oh, what if he goes to Miami? And I've just thought like, yeah, that could be something. But Granger's also been terrible this year. So,
well, it's not just that he's been terrible; it's that, you know, he's probably going to want to go somewhere where he has an opportunity to reshape the perception that he's terrible.
Right.
So,
especially entering free agency, as he will.
You know, I mean, he can. If you ask me, would I rather have Danny Granger or Rashard Lewis? It's coin flip, right? Like,
yeah, which is kind of scary.
Yeah,
I mean, but, in terms of Danny Granger.
But I do like, I love the idea of Granger going somewhere with a bunch of young guys. He's got Channing Frye there to kind of be his you know, another veteran that will make it the transition a little bit easier. You know, I don't think Phoenix has a roster space, but if they could create one, I definitely think that I like that fit a lot. I just think that I cannot in my mind see that he's absolutely done. And if you want a comparison, how about Elton Brand, right?
Yeah,
who was fantastic. MVP candidate worthy with the Clippers, not winner, just worthy of being in the discussion. Had the injury, went to the Sixers and was awful, but then it still turned into like his long-term career. He's a pretty decent NBA reserve.
Yeah, for the Suns to make room, they could release Leandro Barbosa, which wouldn't be eating too much of his deal, or they could buy out Emeka Okafor.
Ooh.
A little buyout for buyout.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea. Although I still kind of like the idea of Okafor somehow getting healthy before the end of the season and then, like, coming in, and then all of a sudden he does, like, the Bogut where everyone's like, oh, well, he's done, and then he blocks, like, three shots in the first round. You're
catching alley-oops.
Right?
That'd be great.
Doing things he's never done before.
Right? He's hitting threes.
I mean, meanwhile, in the lab, the Dr. Frankensteins continue to...
I think it's officially Doctors Frankenstein.
Doctors Frankenstein.
I think that's a medical term.
But of course, the big free agency news from the weekend.
Jason Collins. Brooklyn Nets signed Jason Collins to a 10-day contract. We have our first openly gay active athlete in the NBA. And I got asked about this a lot this weekend. I was on radio a couple of places. And, you know, the prevailing question seems to be, why is this a story? It's like, it's a story because it has to be. It's a story because we're at a point where it demands being a story. Like, I agree. It's stupid that it has to be a story. I think it's ridiculous that it has to be for the simple fact that it should just be accepted. But it's not. It's not widely accepted, so it ends up being a story. And I congratulate him. I congratulate the Nets. Like, I think it's an awesome moment for the NBA. The fact that they're having a press conference for a 10-day contract guy before his first game. The fact that Adam Silver is issuing a statement on the matter. Like, that shows you, like, it matters. It absolutely matters. It shouldn't, but because of where we are, it does. And I'm happy for it. It's great.
Take a look at Twitter mentions if you want to know why this is important. And the other thing, like, I'll be perfectly honest about it. You know, they're going to say, well, all the players seem to say the same thing, which is, you know, as long as he can play, who cares? Many of them are lying. I'm telling you right now, not all of them. I would tell you that in the locker rooms I've been in, I would probably split it into like six guys, seven guys, eight guys are totally fine with it. Five guys don't care and they just want to get paid, and two guys are not okay with it.
Right.
Like they'll live with it because there's a lot of stuff, but like there have been comments, especially things set off record, that, you know, it's not universally okay. It's also been funny because one of the most common reactions I've gotten when I've talked to players about it off record is I get this a lot, which is like, I wonder how it's gonna go. I don't have any problem with it. Like, they're very quick
right
to do what I refer to as the Hyken hands, which is Sean Hyken. If you meet him, he puts his hands up extremely quickly just to express I'm sorry or I'm not, you know, default here.
It's like when Ethan on the podcast metaphorically submits to you and puts his belly in the air for you to scratch it, much like a dog.
Exactly, much like that.
Much like that.
Weird tangent, but okay. But there's a lot of that when I talk to guys, which is like, yeah, I mean, I don't know how it's gonna go. I don't have a problem with it. They're very quick to say that, but there are some guys that, you know, are like, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm not sure. I've never been in that dynamic before, so I'm not sure. I don't want it to be an issue. I think that is something that maybe everybody can agree on. Is nobody wants it to be an issue.
Right, exactly.
And some of this is just based off of just not being familiar or comfortable with it. We have to be careful because we should make it very clear. Like, we don't represent CBS in any way based on these opinions. They very much, like, CBS corporate has its own policies about these things. These are our opinions specifically, but I think it's awesome. The biggest thing that I hope that this kind of solves is the idea that just because a guy is gay doesn't mean that he wants to have sex with everyone, which seems to be this prevailing concept. I always want to ask the guys that are like, what if he wants to have sex with me? I'm like, how many women want to have sex with you? Honestly.
Well, you are talking to NBA players, but I would say like
– Right, but I'm also talking
– But you're also talking to NBA bloggers?
NBA no, fans. Like – I can't mention anybody because then the implication will be that they feel that way. But right. Like, if somebody who looked like Pero Antic, right?
I do like that idea of like, oh, well, what happens in the showers? It's like, you realize players have showered with Jason Collins before, right?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a new thing. It's just they know now. Like, why would that change anything?
Part of me is glad for a lot of reasons, but I think, you know, in part, there's less concern of there being some sort of any sort of drastic, terrible tragedy because you go try and bust up that 6'11 dude.
He's,
good luck.
That was the one. Oh God, who? I think Dwayne Wade had a comment about, like, someone asked him what they thought, and he's like, I know that he's always fouled really hard, and yep. said he, like, was happy for Collins or whatever, but, like, did say, like, I know he's always fouled really hard. And that was a cool thing when he came out in that SI article. It was like, I am not your stereotypical, you know, gay man. Like, stated the reasons of, like, what his reputation in the NBA are. And, like, that is a guy that will hack the crap out of you.
It was surprising to me because there was this perception of he's only getting signed because of this. And there's been then the reaction of, well, what if that's the case? Like, is that so bad? I don't know. Like, I'll tell you know me, man. Like, I'm the biggest proponent of the D-League there is. And there's a lot of guys in the D-League I like. But rotation defense, grab the rebound, foul a guy hard. Yeah. There's actually not a lot of guys that can do that. That mental awareness is not extremely high. Does he have, like, the physical tools anymore? No, but I still feel like there's value there. I would rather have Jason Collins than Kenyon Martin. Sorry.
Oh,
I just,
God, yeah. Kenyon yeah. Martin's terrible.
Yeah.
Jason Collins at least fills a role. Like, he's good. Like, he's good in what his role is, right? Like, he's not a good NBA player, but he is good in what his role is.
Right.
And for a playoff team, like, yeah, you absolutely can get that guy and feel good about putting him in your rotation.
Like, the Cavs signed a guy from the D-League named Onuwaku, and that boy's a beast. I saw him at
he's huge.
He is huge. Oh, I saw his stats, and they're like, yeah, he's 6'9", 275. I was like, you are lying.
There's no way he's 275. That guy's got to be, like, 450 pounds of pure muscle.
And he's Jeff Adrian. He's a man.
Yeah.
He beat the crap out of the guys in the All-Star game. Nobody could even come close to him, and it's like, well, yeah, it's the D-League All-Star game. I'm like, I'm telling you, I've watched these guys. You put him down low against, you know, any sort of small front court, and they're going to have issues with him just from battling him to keep him off the board standpoint. And even then, I'd rather have Collins. So
I actually walked by him at Summer League, and I was within 4 feet of him. I felt tremors. Like, that's a massive human being. It's rare too, because, like, you and I are around NBA players enough to where, like, the size of these guys almost becomes commonplace. Like, we're very, I don't know, average looking people, right?
Like, ended up being generous to me, but yes.
Like, size wise, like, I don't know, I'm 6 feet. Like, I'm not a big guy by any means, but I'm also not a small guy. Like, I'm just very, like, right in the middle. But you stand next to these guys, and eventually, like, how much bigger they are than you becomes commonplace. But there are a few guys like Marc Gasol, Aaron Gray, Nikola Pekovic, you know, Shaq was this way, obviously, Roy Hibbert. Like, there are these guys who are just so massive compared to NBA players that it takes it to another level, and he's one of those guys. He's one of those guys where you just stand next to him and you're like, what made you?
Bron's like that for me. Every time I'm at LeBron's locker to interview him for the finals or whatever, I'm always just – I just cannot believe how big he is.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how anyone human being can be that big. He's just –
Aaron Gray literally looks like he was made in Honey, I Blew Up the Kids. He looks like a normal person that's just gigantic size.
Wilson Chandler is actually, like, he's not a guy you think of, but I just happened to be walking next to him last night going in when he's coming back from shooting around pregame. And all I could think of was the tree thing from the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
Yes.
That's, like, what it reminded me of. He's like a effing tree.
Yeah.
Lumbering through.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of, Denver's in some trouble.
They were 24-23 at one point, right? And now they're, like, 25-30. And it's not just, like, oh, they've gone 1-7 in their last day. Like, they have gone 1-7 in their last eight.
So Shaw on Friday destroyed them postgame. Just one of, I mean, it was like everyone said, I've never heard that outside of Jerry Sloan. That's the only comparison anyone's ever made to what he did to that team publicly. Passed most of the buck too. Was not on the coaching staff. Just
right.
These guys are not competing. And so on Sunday, pregame, he got a couple of softball questions to kind of, you know, like reporters do this. It's like, oh, well, you probably regret saying some of those things. Like, here's a softball so you can kind of take it a little bit back. And now that you've calmed down a little bit, the competitive juices aren't flowing. And nope, Brian Shaw put that sucker in gear and drove right on through all over the Nuggets. Just ba-dump, 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 ba-dump. That was the sound of him running them over.
I mean, they're not in a great place right now.
No, not ideally.
I understand it.
Earl Boykins on local radio here this week made a really good point from a player's perspective, which is he said, you can lose if you've lost injuries and guys to injury, and if you don't have a lot of talent and you don't have chemistry and your system's not working, yeah. He's like, yeah, you'll lose games. You lose multiple games by 30 points, your guys have given up on that coach. Yeah. It is like they are out. So I don't know what's going to have to happen here. Every indication I've had is that the front office does not feel rushed to change anything. Obviously they didn't, because they didn't make any moves the deadline besides Andre Miller for Jan Vesely, hashtag Airwolf. Like, I was really surprised they weren't more aggressive, but they seemed to be really patient with their approach.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like you are going through a full regime change. They clearly believe in Brian Shaw on some level. I don't know that they have a roster full of guys that they're all that married to, you know? So maybe
I would say the exact opposite. I don't think – I used to say everybody but Ty. I don't think there's anybody on the roster that's untouchable.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like they have guys that like I'm sure they like but are looking long-term and like, yeah, we don't really need that guy. We can move him for something. And now, I guess if you believe in Brian Shaw's philosophy, then the next step is shaping your roster to fit that philosophy. So I mean, that would explain the patience.
Yeah, I know that they're huge on this draft, and while the losing and the way that they're losing is bothersome, they are down to now they're 12th, and they're only four games out of the eighth spot in the lottery, and the New York pick is in eighth spot with a really good chance to fall to probably four or five.
Yeah,
so,
they do have they have won two of their last nine games, but both those wins are against the Bucks.
And so. They were close ones too. It was not good, not ideal, not great. What else happened last night? Let's see. That Clippers one was really impressive.
Yeah, that was there's a great video that the NBA cut together of a duel between Jamal Crawford and Kevin Durant. That was just really fun. It's really fun. It's like 2 minutes and 50 seconds. It's just fun.
And tune in tomorrow when Royce Young will be on, so you guys can talk about how Russell Westbrook is clearly the problem with this team.
Oh, I can't wait. I immediately got that yesterday. I was just like, please don't ask me stupid questions. Westbrook is not a problem. He's
he
not
just came back. The problem is every time he comes back. That's okay.
Yeah, that happens. Like, it's just not a video game.
Yeah.
Video game, guy comes back, you start him in the lineup, you get to control him. Like, that's just not how it works. Like, guys have to get accustomed, they have to work off rust. Like, it's a process.
It's not easy. You know it is easy.
Squarespace.com?
Where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. So I hear.
No, and you hear correctly, because they're constantly improving their platform. You want new features? They've got it. You want new designs? They've got it. You want even better support than they had before. Here's the thing. Squarespace.com had support before that was incendiary, I would say.
Incendiary.
Much like I would describe the guitar play of Stillwater.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stillwater. Incendiary. It's gotten even better. And the beautiful designs for you to start with, all the options you need to create a unique website for you or your business. Do you want – I mean, we're in the age of being an entrepreneur. Do you want your own business? Your business needs a website, and you can create it with Squarespace.com.
And unlike the Nuggets, they have lots of support staff in place. They've got over 100 Squarespace employees. They're on the customer care team, which is based in New York City. Their office has been nicknamed Fever Dog. No, wait. The Care Bear Lair. That's what they call it, the Care
Bear Lair. I was going to say Band-Aids, but I think Care Bear Lair is more correct.
It's cheap too, man.
Oh, it's really – if you sign up for a year – right now, starts at $8 a month and includes a free domain name.
What about mobile?
Mobile? What mobile do you want to view your website on? iPad?
Yeah.
Covered. iPhone?
What about iPhone?
iPhone's covered.
What about the Windows phone?
Windows phone's covered.
What about the Razer?
Not so much around anymore, but it would be covered.
Looks great on all the devices every single time.
It does, and it's a unique mobile experience that fits your website and what you've designed.
How do I get started, man?
You just start a free trial, no credit card required. You start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code FUN, that's F-U-N. You're going to get 10% off, and it shows your support for the Ion Basketball Podcast, which we thank Squarespace for showing their support of the Ion Basketball Podcast. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website.
We're becoming an infomercial the more we do this. Like, it's...
I know. It's been my dream.
I'm going to start calling you by a fake name. Is okay? Don't let it catch you off guard. I'm like, tell me more, Steve!
I feel like my name should be like Buzz Cuttingstone or something.
I have to tell you this. So, I know you don't like the show Community, which, of course, no one should watch because it's not on CBS, but on your DVR, I need you to start recording Community, and here's the reason why. Don't watch the show.
Okay.
But it's on like a local network, and even the ones I think on Comedy Central. The commercials for what's on at this time of night are unbelievable. I think I may just start ripping a few of them for you. I've seen some of the craziest stuff on the planet on this one.
I do love me some commercials.
It's really crazy.
I mean, the infomercials are – I love infomercial commercials where they've cut down the infomercial into a 30-second spot. So they're just trying to fit as much as they can into it with all the chaos of what you need to make something work and not being able to get it to work and all that. Like, I love that shortened, that truncated version of it.
Let's see. Do you want me to ask you about draft stuff, or do you want me to ask you about which teams are going to make the playoffs?
Let's go draft stuff.
Okay. We're working on mock drafts. Zach and I should have one up either this week or next, depending on when Gary Parrish gets his lazy ass off the couch to do something.
Yeah, Gary, I understand you have work and family and travel and all kinds of stuff that's above us, but you can do a mock draft.
He's lying. He's hanging out with Verno in Memphis. I know. He says he's going to New York City for TV, but he's lying. He's going out drinking with Verno.
Sounds like the best time.
Yeah, okay, so I'm about to do like a big deep dive on Noah Vonleh. What do you think of him?
Oh, my God. Love me
some Noah. I can't believe that kid's range.
I love me some Noah Vonleh. Love it. I think, you know, we've been talking about, Wiggins, Embiid, Parker, Exum, Randall, Gordon, and Smart as like the top seven. I really think Vonleh with a good tournament and good workouts could sneak into like that top five, top six. I think he's a monster. I don't know how anybody in the class. I mean, I don't think he'll ever get in a workout where he matches up with Randall. I don't think the agents would do that just because agents are so conservative now with draft workouts. But he's going to destroy anybody in a workout. Like he's just ridiculous.
I think it's going to be interesting. It is really funny. I had the exact opposite talking to people about the draft than I did about trade deadline. Because whenever I tried to talk to any personnel guy about trade deadline, it was like the Cold War. Like, the communication lines just blank. I'd be on G-Chat talking to somebody, and they'd be like, so-and-so is typing. And I would ask about something with a trade deadline. Just, nope. Not happening. Text messages. It would go from the dot, dot, dot to just, nope. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not get back to you? Got to catch up soon. Bye. But the draft, however, guys are just chatting along. And look, there may not be superstars in this one, but holy crap, is it deep, and are the GM still really excited about it? Like, there, anybody telling you that this draft, they're like, well, it's not as good as we thought it was, is lying. No, they love this thing.
Yeah, everybody loves this draft. No, Noah Vonleh is like, he's a monster. He's got good. I mean, I'm trying to think of something he doesn't do well. I guess he's not much of a passer. Right. Like, he doesn't, like, if you double team, I'm not sure he's going to be great passing out of the post, but, like, God. As a pick and roll guy, as a pick and pop guy, like, he just seems perfect.
Well, I think one of the things is that his handle isn't amazing.
Right. He's a little shaky with it.
But he's also 6'10", so it's like, even if he's just a post-up inside guy, pick and roll, finishes off of the lob, and then shoots from the perimeter guy, like, that's still great.
I want to throw this comp at you and see what you think, just in what kind of player I think he can be at the NBA level. David West. Similar skill set. Obviously, he's not the tank that David West is, but in that kind of usage.
I'd have to go back and watch West when he was younger, and so he wasn't as stocky.
Yeah.
West actually has crazy wingspan, because that's my thing with Vonleh, is like his wingspan, I think he's like 7'4 or something.
7'4, yeah.
It's just blah.
I think West is like 6'8 or maybe 6'9, and he has like a 7'3 wingspan. So it's comparable. Yeah.
yeah, I think the comparison is not bad in terms of skill set. I like the fact that there is a big in this draft that has range. Now, Randall has range. He just hasn't had to show it, but you also can't bank on something you haven't seen for a while.
Right, exactly.
But with Vonleh, you've seen it. Like, he can shoot it. I had one guy tell me that they felt like his shot needs a little bit of work, but they feel like it's incredibly fixable.
Yeah.
They feel like his mechanics are fixable, but not – like, it's not pure yet. So.
At the risk of freaking out every single Syracuse homer, who – I got to say, like, I don't hate any college fan base, but Syracuse is pushing it.
Yep.
Like, you just don't produce that many good NBA players.
No.
So when I'm looking at what's going on in your amazing college basketball season, which I think you're they're like 33-1 or something like that. I don't know. Something ridiculous like that. Yeah, you're having a fantastic college season, but when we project to the NBA, there's a reason that stuff doesn't always translate. And I'm still not in love with Tyler Ennis as an NBA prospect. Like, I don't love him. I think he's had a fantastic freshman year. He's really good, but as an NBA player, and this isn't even a Johnny Flynn thing or anything. Like, I just look at him like, all right, dude can't shoot. He's great at protecting the ball and setting guys up. You know, his clutch play has been fantastic, but it's also college basketball.
Right.
Like, you have a competent player in the clutch time in college basketball, that's rare. Like, you just see so much bad basketball at the end of tight games in college, which is fine. But, I'm looking at him yeah, maybe he's a starting point guard in the NBA. I also look at the starting point guard position, I'm like, it's getting pretty full.
Yeah. I don't mind it for a team. Like, if Sacramento falls back to 9, I don't mind him going there.
Yeah, it's a great insurance policy depending on, what you think Isaiah Thomas's restricted free agency market's going to be. I wouldn't mind that at all.
If the New York pick winds up 8 or 9, I don't mind the Nuggets taking him because they need a guard that can ride Space Mountain.
Sure.
It's just something that needs to happen.
Yeah.
I don't mind – New Orleans would bug me a little bit from a fit perspective. Detroit, I wouldn't mind, but I'd be annoyed because they're not going to play him.
Right.
But – and even, the Lakers were to go on a run and screw themselves over and fall backwards, I wouldn't even mind that necessarily.
And now that they have Kent Bazemore.
Like,
that's probably going to happen.
I like Gary Harris a little bit more.
Yeah, I love Gary Harris.
I probably don't like McDermott.
Oh, really?
I'd say I still like McDermott more. I'd still rather have him just as a pure role player. I'd rather have McDermott. I gotta stop this because I look way too much for need rather than BPA in outside the top five. Like, top five, I'm always BPA.
Right.
Or if you're just a team that's loaded and you happen to have a draft pick, take BPA. But other than that, I'm always look, you have something. That's why you weren't at the bottom of the draft. Take something that helps you. So.
I think this is an interesting conversation, even though they're two completely different players and positions. Would you rather have Tyler Ennis or Nick Stauskas? Let's say you're picking 12th.
Oof.
Because that's probably a little ahead of where you'd want Stauskas, and it's a little behind where Ennis is projected to go right now, I think.
I think I like Ennis a little bit more because I feel like I can run him out in combo guard sets.
Okay, that's fair. I would go with Stauskas, but I'm in love with shooting. And I
will say, and while I get annoyed with the fact that that people completely ignore the athleticism, basically if you decide that you like a guy because he's impressed you, you just start going I don't really care about the athleticism. That's ridiculous. Right. You should care about athleticism.
Yeah, you should.
It's cute that Kendall Marshall's starting for arguably the worst team in the league, but it matters. Okay.
It definitely matters.
And so I do, but I think there is a value to I like Ennis' toughness. I think he's a really tough kid.
Yeah, to me, he looks like a guy who could project to be, the best backup point guard in the league.
Right.
And people will take that as a pejorative statement, but I think that's a really important role. That's one of the most important roles you'll find in the NBA. It's a guy that can run a second unit and run it competently. And, we've got so many great point guards and really good point guards in the league that I look at those and I look at Ennis, I'm like, I don't think he really matches up with those guys. And another interesting one, I think, would you rather have Tyler Ennis fall into your lap at 12, or would you rather reach for Zach LaVine?
I'd rather reach for Zach LaVine.
I would too. I love Zach LaVine.
You want to do games?
Let's do games.
Okay, in the Suck Bowl.
Oh, man, I'm excited about this game.
Sixers Bucks. You can't spell sucks without Sixers Bucks.
This is what this stupid little project I've called Power Tankings has been leading up to all year.
Bucks are dogs by a point and a half over at sportsbook.com. They're favored by a point and a half.
Jesus. So what's the result that would screw both betting parties?
Pie?
God. Give me the... All right, here's the thing. The Bucks have been by far the worst team in the league all season long. Like, they've been consistent with it. The Sixers are on a 10-game losing streak. They had two games in the 40s in terms of point deficit. They've had a bunch of double-digit losses. Give me the... I took the Bucks last week and it burned me. Like a prostitute.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to think of horrible ways to describe these two teams.
I was like, oh, burned him like a hot frying pan. Nope, like a whore. Okay. Like a
whore. give me the Bucks.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm doing. Are they favored or are they not favored? What am I picking?
They're point and a half dogs. So they lose by one.
Can we just call it a pick'em?
Can we call it a pass?
All right, so they're – all right, so if they lose – all right, yeah, no, give me the Bucks.
Okay. Warriors open at 5-point favorites. They're down to 3 versus the Pistons in Detroit.
That's curious. I guess no Bogut?
Yeah.
I'll give me the
Warriors. Well, no, Bogut's said to be back. He's supposed to be back.
Huh. Curry shooting with his left hand?
I don't know.
Is the offense going to be all Klay Thompson layups?
I take the Warriors. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. I mean, the Warriors have been shaky against the spread.
Yeah, I'll go Warriors, but that's weird.
Yeah. They've been shaky because they get favored by more than they should be at home. Yeah. So. And then I finally bet against them, and they eked out the other night. This one's been bugging me all day. I'm really freaked out by this one. This opened at 5 at one book I saw, despite people telling me it didn't. I got it at Mavericks -4.
Okay.
It's now down to Mavericks -2.5 in New York versus the Knicks.
Did Dirk go to Germany?
Did Monta find a moped?
Why would that fall?
The easy answer is, well, there had to have been action on the Knicks. But then I realized no one would put action on the Knicks.
Yeah, why would you ever do that?
Like, at 4, I thought this was a steal. I would take it at 6.
I'm just looking up quick injury stuff. There's something. Yeah, I would take it at 6-2. Gal Meckel is the only one that is out for the. According to Basketball Reference, Gal Meckel is the only injury they have. Bargnani is out. He's been out for a while. Shump's out. I mean, give me the Mavericks. Clearly. But that's curious.
Yeah. Clippers, because of a glitch in our spread system as it deployed last night, I have the Clippers as 23.5-point dogs.
That seems extreme.
So I feel pretty good about covering on this one, and I'm definitely not going to change it. I'm going to keep it. So.
Hey, you didn't design the Matrix, right?
Exactly.
It's just in reality,
the Clippers are favored by 4.
It's just your job to dodge bullets and beat the agents.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I'll take Clippers by 4. Yeah, I'll take Clippers by 23.
No, the 23.5-point dog.
Oh, right. I'll take the Clippers plus 23.5.
As long as the Pelicans don't beat them by 24, I'm good. If I lose this one, I am going to throw something. And finally, another fantastic tanker. The Jazz are favored by 3.5 now, up from 3 over the Boston Celtics.
You know, the Bucks and Sixers are in the Tank Bowl tonight, but this Boston-Utah one is, I mean, very close. They're both have 19 wins. Jazz are 2 behind in the loss column. This could have some serious lottery implications.
Yeah, I think the Celtics here. I think they're going to win.
Utah, I don't know if Derek Favors is back yet. I do know that they tried to guard Kevin Love with Marvin Williams the other night, and Kevin Love recorded a 37-point triple-double in under 33 minutes. And I've heard that Jaren Sullinger is the new Kevin Love. So I can only assume he'll best that.
Sullinger's out, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, I've heard Kelly Olynyk is the new Kevin Love as well. So I'm going to go with – I'll go with Boston. Because I don't think Derek Favors will play.
Hey, man, I got to run. I got a radio spot. Good talking, though.
Good talking. I'll talk at you
more
later.
More draft on Wednesday?
More draft on Wednesday.
That's good, man.
Thanks, man.